Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Crunch time! Crunch time! You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Crunch time! Crunch time!
That's right, you are listening to Crunch Time, and it is official. It is official. The NFL preseason starts tonight, Frank.
You realize there will be Thursday night football from this day forward.
Yes, keep saying it.
Thursday night, keep talking.
Getting excited here.
Until just before the playoffs.
Wow. Thursday night football from now on, Kansas City. Welcome to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bowl. And tonight, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Frank's team, will play against the Dallas Cowboys.
Tim's team.
And I love my Mike McCarthy, good buddy of mine, but
yeah,
I wouldn't say it's my team. Many battles between the Chicago Bears back in the day and the Dallas Cowboys with Too Tall Jones and Randy White.
That's right.
And
good teams.
Boy, those were a lot of fun. Although back in the late 70s and early 80s, the Bears would take it on the chin pretty good from the Cowboys. I did like the Cowboys. I did enjoy watching Cowboy games. Got a lot of Cowboy games for some reason in Chicago back in the day.
Yeah.
America's team, probably.
Yeah,
right?
My son loved the Dallas Cowboys. Sorry, Garrett, my oldest son.
Yeah, but
and then my other son, Grant, he loves Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I could see that. I mean, you're kind of Philly's kind of your third hometown.
Well, so
you first hometown, I would say, is Kansas City. Second hometown, the place you grew up, Pittsburgh. And then Philly.
Yeah, spent a while in Philly. Spent 9 years in Philadelphia. Yeah.
9 years in Philly. Flew out of Philly yesterday. I was one of those people that were on Spirit Airlines.
Tell them about that story.
Oh, boy. So I was flying out of Fort Lauderdale. The only really reason we were going to visit.
No. Tell them the real reason you did. Tickets were like $40. Okay, come on. Let's get real here. Okay?
I don't act like I'm that cheap.
You are cheap.
I am cheap, but I'm not that cheap.
Cheap as hell.
I am not that cheap. But I will say that it was right in Atlantic City, and Sarah's brother lives on Long Beach Island, which is about 40 minutes
north
of Atlantic City. So it was easy. So I said, we'll just go ahead and jump on that and say hello. We went and saw our parents and it was great, but sitting over in the airport in Fort Lauderdale and around Spirit Airlines, anybody's ever flown Spirit Airlines, you know what I mean. So I'm sitting there, and they keep saying, we're about to load up here. We'll be loading up any minute now. We're just waiting on a couple things. And an hour goes by, 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by, and people are going up and back. And I'm one of those people, I refuse to give them any kind of attention. I'm not going to go up and ask, hey, why aren't I on the flight? Because then I look weak. I don't want to look weak. Right? I don't want to walk up there and say, what's the deal? How come I'm not getting on the flight here? Because then you're weak. You're showing weakness. I'm not going to ever show weakness. But I'm sitting there and I'm looking at Sarah and I'm like, every time we go see your family, something like this happens.
Oh, boy. Ooh,
every time you fly into Newark or fly in Atlantic City now or fly into LaGuardia or whatever it is, fly into Philly, it's always a disaster. And I'm looking at her like, see, once again, your family. Spirit Airlines. I said, we're not poor. All right? We're not poor.
But
we can't fly. We are cheap, but I'm not poor. And I'm getting mad at her. She's getting mad at me now. And then all of a sudden, the first officer shows up about 3.5 hours late. That's who they're waiting for, officer. But we're lucky because we're the last plane to get out of Fort Lauderdale. I mean, they still haven't had one get out of there since
Spirit,
we left.
Well, Spirit shut down.
It's shut down.
Because they have no employees and nobody to fly the plane. Are you sure that guy was a first officer?
I don't even know if he was. We got there 4.5 hours late, but we got there.
Yeah.
But it was a disaster. But it's not a disaster, Frank. It's our friends with CBD American Shaman, who, by the way.
Nice transition.
Like that? By the way, while I was down in Florida, I got a nice care package from CBD American Shaman. Jamie Woolard sent me the new sunscreen.
He did, really?
Yes. And it is outstanding stuff.
Jamie!
I have a couple bottles for you. I'll see if I can get a couple over to you, since I have the connections and you don't. So I tried it. It was awesome. It was great. You know, anybody who's ever tried their lotion skin creams, it feels the same way, but it has the sunblock stuff. What do they call it?
SPF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it worked. No burn. Look at
awesome.
No burn.
Yeah, look
no
at
burn
that.
At all.
Good deal.
You know, being an Irish kid like me, you know,
yeah.
I get red. And I tell my wife all the time, that's why I tan. I tan red. And she's like, no, you don't. But so, guys, at the stores right now, 30% off. It's a long summer. We're just starting August. I promise you I'll be using it. I'm out coaching next week over at Bishop Mies. I'll be using...
It's going to be 100 degrees. Yeah, next week too.
And with all the people that are in coaching and that I know that play a lot of golf,
yep.
and they're always like, yeah, you know, I had to get this thing taken off, and I wish I would have, you know, paid attention by putting sunscreen on earlier in my life, and I didn't do it, and now I'm paying for it. I got to deal with this, this, and that. Don't deal with it. Go to CBD America Shaman and get this awesome, awesome new sunscreen. Plus, the other products are great.
That's right.
I am addicted. That's probably not the best word to say. But I love the gummies. I take two of those gummies at night, and I sleep like a baby, too. So the CBN and two gummies is the best cocktail of sleep that you'll ever have. But go ahead, Frank. I'll bail me out.
And don't forget, Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness, 117th and Row in Leawood, 913-227-9510, 913-227-9510. And they'll get you in there. They have family and single memberships, monthly packages. They have a medical concierge, hormone replacement, both for men and women, IV therapy, everything from hangovers to PTSD. They have full aesthetics and a fully stocked CBD American Shaman store as well. And the purest hemp oil in the business.
In the biz.
Is from CBD American Shaman. And now they have sunscreen.
Now they have sunscreen.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And you can use it when you go out to watch the Kansas City Chiefs at practice because it's been hot out there and it's going to get hotter. And it was hot out there in pads. This is their third day in a row in pads, and they have one more. They will have four days of pads. Which
breaking my heart.
I can't believe it. That is just unbelievable. I don't know how many padded practices they can't have, but four in a row. Good job, Andy. Proud of you. That's good stuff. And, you learn a lot. You learn a lot when you go into pads. You got the teamwork, 11-on-11, the O-line, D-line, one-on-ones, running backs, linebackers, one-on-one, wide receivers, corners, one-on-one. You can work in goal line and short yardage, which they have. We got some sound from that. And they're working on their running game, and we'll get to the running game here in a second. But I do want to say one thing before we get on to some of the things that I've heard and seen and found out about what's going on in practice. For all my media friends, and I love you, I do love you, when you film stuff at practice and you put it on, like, for example, the new trend now is for guys to somehow film, like, the one-on-ones when Joe Tunney's going against Chris Jones in a one-on-one, and they film it, and then they, you know, they make a little bit of a comment, and then you read all the other comments. I can't believe we're paying Joe Tunney all that money, and he can't block anybody. Just all these different comments about what a waste of money for Joe Tunney to be here. He's getting beat by Chris Jones like a rag doll. It's practice. They're working on things. Remember now, one-on-one, everybody, especially offense and defense line. I'm not just protecting the defensive line, offensive linemen.
Yes, you are.
But it's a fact that is not an offensive drill. It is a defensive drill. Very rarely does a defensive lineman, A, know the play, unless it's third down and long, and then they may have an idea what the play is, but you don't run the ball in one-on-one. It's a pass block drill,
right.
So they know you're pass blocking. Number two, the defensive lineman has no gap responsibility, so he can go inside or outside or bull rush you. There's three different things that he could do to you while you're pass protecting, which causes issues. And number three, he knows that nobody else is going to come and chip him or turn protection to him or anything else. So as good as Chris Jones, I think, is doing.
Mm-hmm. And he is.
And he's doing great. Joe Tunney's not doing bad on the other side of that. Okay? They're both going to be fine. All right? Joe Tunney's going to be fine. You know, a couple things.
Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be fine.
And you don't know what they're working on. You know, Andy Heck could have said to him, hey, guys, listen, I want you to work on your, you know, jump technique when you want to go and jump and be aggressive on a guy. And when you do that, sometimes you miss and you miss badly, but you have to work on those things. Three-step drops, getting the ball out quickly. There's all kinds of things that they could be working on. You don't know what they're working on. So to critique a guy and say that, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we paid all that money to Joe Tunney and he just got beat by Chris Jones is a little aggravating to me. Yeah. So just take a deep breath, fans. I understand that Twitter's not the real world. All right, anybody can say anything they want on Twitter. I understand that. But, you know, and by the way, I called over to the Chiefs. It's like, so what's this new deal? I mean, can they film one-on-one reps? Can they film
usually
stuff going
they're
on?
Not allowed to do that.
They're not, and they're not allowed to do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. They have a certain the stretching and then a little bit of the pre-practice stuff and the run through. And then all of a sudden, they're not allowed. They're not supposed to take any more video after that.
Right. So. And, you know, what's going to happen is the Chiefs are going to say, hey, listen, all right, you know what? If we catch you doing this anymore, see ya.
Credential.
Yeah. But, you know, they're like, you know, we're not going to police all these different things. And, you know, we don't like it. But, you know, we got a lot of things we're worried about right now.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, whatever. So I just wanted to preface by saying that Joe Tunney's going to be just fine. Orlando Brown's going to be just fine. And when you're watching one-on-ones and you see those guys maybe getting beat, they're going to be okay.
Here's what you have to understand here, folks. You're sitting here listening to this. Timmy was there. Timmy did all those one-on-ones. I mean,
for 11 years.
For somebody else to come in and go, wow, he's getting, you know, what's called? Joe Tunney's getting beat. Orlando Brown's getting beat. And, you know, whatever. You know, Creed Humphrey's having problems or whatever. Just remember, Timmy's been there. He's telling you what's going on and how it happened. So don't panic if you see these things and you have somebody who really doesn't know the game, never played the game, never been in a practice like that in their life. They really don't know what the hell's
going
on.
And you know, listen, you can make any comment you want. I mean, I really don't care, but I'm just going to try to help you out here a little bit and tell you that you know, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what he's working on. You don't know what he's trying to do. And it's a very, very difficult drill. So the moral of the story is, listen, he got beat, you know, but Joe Tunney's going to be just fine. Joe Tunney is a hell of a football player, and you're going to be happy that Joe Tunney is on your football team and Orlando Brown. Not Orlando. Orlando Brown. Who is his Zeus Brown was his dad. Orlando Brown. You'll be happy Orlando Brown is on the team. You'll be happy that Creed Humphrey's on your team. And you'll be happy that Trey Smith is on the team. And a lot of people are saying that Trey Smith is just smashing people, and he's, you know, just killing people out there.
Right.
But he's going to also run into his problems, too, because it's just the way it is. But I do want to talk about something we talked about, Frank, here a couple weeks ago about the run game, red zone,
right,
and point of emphasis.
Their biggest weakness last year was red zone and short yardage.
So
running the football, red zone and short yardage.
All indications are, and I was able to watch some things and talk to some people.
It was also the defense's biggest weakness as well.
Right. The run game has to improve. So scheme equals players. You want to scheme with your players. The Jimmys and Joes, not the X's and O's. You run what you can run. So last couple of years, the Chiefs' offensive line was more of a finesse offensive line. So they ran a lot more zone stuff. Zone is kind of like building a wall. Okay, you're trying to build a wall, and you're giving that back an opportunity to get behind you and make somebody miss. Or find a running lane of some kind.
Yeah.
Gap blocking is like bulldozing that wall. You are bulldozing guys out of there. You are clearing guys out. We always called it, it's 600 on 300. You have those double teams to cut the defense at the point of attack, and then you're bringing guys to clear it out and bulldoze guys out. That's what this bunch of players that the Chiefs have right now, their players, what they're good at, and what you're going to see from the Chiefs is a lot more counters, a lot more powers, and that's what you're seeing right now. And there's some things on Twitter that I was watching, and there's some good stuff. I think Jeff Schwartz did something. I thought it was a really good breakdown talking about how this team right now is made for the gap run scheme. And that's what they're working on. And you can't work on that stuff until you put pads on. So when we talked about this 4 or 5 weeks ago, how we thought that point of emphasis was going to be run game, another thing they were going to do in the red zone was run the ball. And we talked about it's probably going to be more of a gap running team. Well, it's showing up now.
Right. And that's what we fully expected them to do, just like Timmy said. It's a totally different revamped offensive line. And they're doing this for a reason. They didn't run the ball very well last year in short yardage and red zone. They remember the reverses. Remember Patrick Mahomes out there running option plays. God forbid this year that you're going to put him through that, especially after what happened to him, you know, at the end with the, quote, turf toe, which I think was a lot more serious than just a normal turf toe, because you usually don't spend 3 months in a walking boot if you just have normal turf toe. So, you know, they're going to protect the kid. They're going to try to make him, you know, as protected as possible. And you've got running backs for a reason. They're supposed to be able to get you a few yards, okay, if you're in a short yard situation. But it's all up to the offensive line up front. You tried last year, everybody tried to finesse everybody, just didn't work. This year it's going to be a different story. They're going to try to blow people up and blow them out of there.
You know, one of the things I really appreciate about Andy Reid and the way that he conducts practice, and it's harder to be a coach, I think, now than it was maybe 25, 30 years ago. It's easier to be a player because you just don't have that contact that you used to have. And it's been mandated by the league. It's been mandated by the NFLPA, and it's probably a smart thing to do. Well, in fact, it is a smart thing to do. You don't want guys smashing up against each other all the time in practices and causing issues. Listen, Willie Gay had a concussion. All right, now it's something. It's probably nothing. He probably he's in protocol right now. But, you know, you'd have a lot more of that stuff. And first of all, they weren't even diagnosed. And secondly, you know, if you had those concussions because of those hitting practices you had, you're wasting reps basically because the guy has to sit out. But Andy Reid does such a nice job, especially when he gets in passes, finding competitiveness in a practice.
Right.
I mean, it's always situational. And that is a sign of a great coach. I always thought, listen, when you're practicing something, practice something that you're going to do in the game. You know, too many times coaches, they see something on video or they see a drill they want to run, but it has nothing to do with what's going to happen on the field. I think Andy does a great job. He's been working on the red zone. He's been working on short yardage. He's been working on goal line. He's been working on 2-minute offenses coming up tomorrow. All those things, all those situations he makes competitive are so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have our man on the spot up at St. Joe's, Stephen St. John. He's going to be up there. He's been up there all week, and he will be there all the way through tomorrow. And he is also, he just got to judge some some pepper eating contest somewhere. But we're going to grab him real quick before he has to go and do that. And we're going to put him on, get him on, get his thoughts. He's been up at camp all week, and we're going to get SSJ on here, of course, Border Patrol for the morning, and get him on before he has to go do his other duties. So,
couple guys. First of all, Tyreek Hill was back at practice. Thornhill back at practice. Okafor has been out with a hamstring. Gabe was out with a concussion. Callaway left practice early, and they didn't say what it was.
Yeah, it was good to see Tyreek Hill back after his tendonitis in his knee. You know, that's going to that'll make people feel a little bit better. Don't get too upset about people leaving practice because of these injuries, especially if they walk off under their own power. Anybody feels something or is all tweaked up or whatever, they're going to give them every benefit in the world to just relax and sit down and, you know, not do anything.
We have the mayor of St. Joe.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes.
The mayor of St. Joe, Stephen St. John. Stephen, first of all, how has your stay been?
You know what? It's been great. The weather has been very nice up in St. Joe, from what I've been told. A lot better than it was last week. Last week it's a lot hotter, and it's going to be really hot, I think, this weekend and next week. And so, we lucked out, and there's been practice every day this week. 9:15, practice again tomorrow. 9:15, and of course, Chiefs Ambassadors Day is tomorrow. Then no practice Saturday, and then Family Fun Day on Sunday. And so it's been a full week, lots of action. They put the pads on for the first time on Tuesday, and so, you know, that adds a little bit to the excitement of practice, but it's been great so far up in St. Joe.
Yeah, you've been lucky because, yeah, they'll have four padded practices in a row, which is kind of unusual in this day and age for training camp. And so what have you seen competitively? Let's start with the O-line and D-line. You know, I was just talking about, listen, Joe Tunney struggled a little bit with Chris Jones, and it's all over Twitter. I can't believe we paid Joe Tunney all that money because he got beat by Chris Jones in a one-on-one. But it's been pretty competitive. These guys have been getting after it, haven't they?
Absolutely. So, I mean, the guys that have stood out, and you know, there's only so much you can take away from one-on-one drills, but that's been the most fun to watch the last couple of days of anything, the offensive and defensive lines going against each other. Creed Humphrey is a stud. He's a brick wall. It's been so much fun to watch him and battle, you know, Jaron Reed and battle Turk Wharton. I mean, Tershawn Wharton's looked really good as well. The guy that's been causing a lot of conversation, and I, if you go to my Twitter feed, it's at SSJWHB. I tried to send out several clips of the one-on-one drills today with the offensive line and defensive line going up against each other. Orlando Brown, he hasn't looked good. And Tim Ward, so I don't know if Tim Ward is going to make the team. I don't think he is, but, boy, if he can make the team just based on what he was doing to Orlando Brown in practice today, you might call him a dark horse. And so I tweeted that out, and a bunch of Ravens fans were having fun and retweeting that. And you could, and look, there's going to be that transition period where he gets acclimated from the Ravens system to the Chiefs system and gets comfortable. And you know as well as anyone, Timmy, that there's some guys that just play better with the pads on and look better on Sundays, right? And don't look great, don't look like all pros in practice. But there have been a lot of people that have been commenting on Orlando Brown and how he's looked in one-on-one drills. So that's something as well. But, man, Trey Smith, physicality. He's got that mean streak, and that's, you know, I love that. When you look, and I think Lucas Niang and Andy Reid's commented a couple of times of, you know, that he's in good shape. He's coming ready to have his best, you know, put his best foot forward in this camp. He looked better today, but the guys that just really stood out to me, I just can't get over is Creed Humphrey, and I just cannot figure out how Trey Smith, even though he had, you know, some health issues, how was he there in the sixth round? We're going to look back at this for so, and I think we'll look back, and I'm not just saying it because I'm talking to you. We're going to look back at this the same way we look back as, you know, Tim Gunhard and Dave Zott, you know, getting drafted together and ending up being such important parts of that offensive line for so long.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're talking with Stephen St. John, of course, from the Border Patrol. He's up at Chiefs camp all this week. You hear him every morning from 6 to 10 until he has to go out to practice. You go out about 8:30 or 9 in the morning. I heard you this morning take off from the Border Patrol and go on out to practice and check it out. The two names I keep hearing that people might not know a whole lot about. Well, one is Marcus Kemp. Now, we've heard about Marcus before, but he is certainly flashing in camp. And the other guy, I guess he's the camp wonder this year, but he has been running with the first a little bit, is Devin Key, the kid, the undrafted rookie out of Western Kentucky. Talk a little bit about that kid.
The first guy that you talked about, Marcus Kemp, he's catching everything in practice, and he's made highlight reel catches. He's been terrific. He's been one of the best receivers in camp. He's already got a spot on this team because of his ability to play, you know, special teams so well, and Dave Tobe has influence there, you know that, and he's a four-core guy. But the thing is about Marcus Kemp, he's played so well as a receiver, that really limits the ability of a guy like Antonio Callaway maybe of making this team. Callaway also left practice today with a knee issue, but Marcus Kemp has just looked terrific, and I feel like it's going to be very difficult to keep him off the roster because of his ability to play special teams and because he's been showing so much as a wide receiver in this camp. And then Devon Key, who spoke to the media yesterday or today in the tent after practice, undrafted free agent out of Western Kentucky. He told a story about how when the Chiefs were you know, trying to recruit him as an undrafted free agent, Andy Reid called him, and he said that meant a lot to him that the head coach called him, and they really wanted him on the team. And the thing that Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo both said about Devon Key, they both talk about how smart he is and his ability to grasp the playbook and grasp the system. He's been running with the ones, and they trust him enough right now to run with the ones. And so, I mean, if you're looking for a guy that maybe we didn't talk about that has a chance to make this team, I think Devon Key in that secondary is someone that could end up on this 53-man roster.
Steven, last year the Chiefs were ranked 22nd in the red zone and end zone slash goal line stuff. That's been a point of emphasis for this team this year. How have they looked? Are they more run heavy down there? Are they still kind of have their trickeration stuff? Or maybe they're not putting that in right now. But what do you see these guys doing to improve that area that they really need to improve if they want to get where they want to go?
They're just more physical. I mean, you talk about that interior offensive line with three new faces, if indeed Trey Smith is able to win the starting spot.
He's won it.
Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and then Trey Smith. And they're just more physical. They play with that mean streak. And even LVT got in on the action. He was throwing guys, down on the ground after plays today. It just you get that sense that the offensive line, maybe they, whether it's fair or not, they've been called more, finesse in the past under Andy Reid with the Chiefs. That ain't it this year. I mean, you talk about, Orlando Brown's had his issues, but Tooney and his professionalism, what he's brought to the team, and I keep going back to the same thing over and over again. Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, and they're out there, and they flash. You see that physicality. And also, look, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I talked to Maurice Jones-Drew, and he thinks that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to have a huge breakout year this year in his second year. Darrell Williams looks like he's taking steps forward in this offense. And don't forget about a weapon, an underrated weapon, an under-the-radar free agent they signed, Jerick McKinnon. He's not a big guy, but he's a good receiver out of the backfield, and he's a really nice weapon. And you combine that along with what we've seen from Noah Gray, who Travis Kelce just raved about yesterday after practice. They've got some really interesting weapons and matchups. I think that matchups are going to be very difficult for red zone defenses to try to stop when you think about that better, more physical interior offensive line. When you think about Noah Gray, at 6'3", 6'4", and 230 pounds, along with Kelce, Jerick McKinnon catching the ball out of the backfield. There's a lot of different ways that they can get the ball in the end zone inside the 20, but I think it all starts with that offensive line being more physical and having a mean streak, Timmy.
We're talking with Stephen St. John, of course, on the board. We're told to, Stephen, I know you've got to go. One last one. I haven't heard you talk too much about CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What are your thoughts, and what have you seen from him during this preseason camp so far?
He's just more comfortable. I mean, all the rookies have said that, from Willie Gay to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, all of them, that abbreviated kind of weird off season. They didn't get, the full off season that a rookie would normally get, and they're not having to think as much. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, hey, he ran the football well in the Super Bowl. We got to remember that. And this is a kid that just, the other thing too is that they maybe didn't trust him as much in pass protection and in the passing game. And he feels like he's made strides, and he has more confidence when he's back there if he's asked to block or pick up a blitz to try to protect Patrick Mahomes. Because, if any running back's going to be a liability in protecting Patrick Mahomes, that's going to affect the reps. He feels like he's made some strides there, and he feels more comfortable and just has a better grasp of everything. And, again, along with that better, more physical offensive line and having this full off season and understanding what he needs to do to be a successful running back in the NFL, I do think you're going to see a terrific year from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I think you are going to see the Chiefs, when they want to, be able to run the football more effectively, especially between the tackles.
Okay, one last question. Will you eat a ghost pepper tonight? I know you're judging a pepper-eating contest.
Well, I'm out at the Kansas City Monarchs game. I'm getting ready to start the RJ Iguanas hot pepper-eating contest. Oof. Round one, they got to eat two full jalapeno peppers. Round two, then they have to eat a full habanero pepper. Then round three, the Thai chili peppers. They don't look as bad before that. They'll get you. And then if you can laugh and make that, and there's a minute in between each round where it settles in the stomach, because you got to prove that you can hold it down. Then the last one, three dried Carolina Reapers.
Oh.
And let me tell you, you got to handle these damn things with rubber gloves, literally. And I don't know, but, I mean, there's a title belt, some title boxing they're giving to the winner, and a big trophy. I might have to have more of a prize on the line for me to eat that stuff. It's not going in. Guys, I think the problem is when it's coming out. That's the issue. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. They can get
you
through it now, but by midnight tonight, I think there's going to be some backlash.
It'll get through you at that point.
That's right.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, Steven.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for taking some
time. I love you guys.
Great
love
job,
you.
Brother.
See you soon.
All right, Stephen St. John from the Border Patrol, getting us updated on camp. He is everywhere. He's at the Monarchs tonight.
He is. He's
judging that contest. He'll be back up in camp tomorrow. It's crazy.
He is
everywhere.
He's almost as many places as CBD American Shaman
almost.
Stores. Many stores out there. Remember, guys, CBD American Shaman, 30% off right now. All stores, CBN, CBG. Just your regular CBD water, your tinctures,
water soluble,
your water solubles,
your gummies,
and then
dog treats,
the sunscreen,
and they have lip balm.
So that's good too.
They got everything covered. Whatever you want to cover, they'll cover it. Okay. Anxiety, pain, inflammation, you name it, they got it. CBD America Shaman, outstanding stuff, outstanding Kansas City company. Get over there right now and get 30% off and tell them that Crunch Time sent ya. There it is, Frank.
NFL Films. I love that. That music's great.
That's awesome. And the NFL Films will be rolling tonight as the Steelers and the Cowboys will match up tonight.
Hall of Fame game.
Does it start at 7 o'clock?
They're the only two, yeah. Right after we're done here, it'll be on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I got something to listen to on the way home.
That's it. And then you can watch it a little when you get there.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
You know what? Anytime a little bit of football's on, it's nice.
Now,
I'm not going to say I'm going to watch the whole game.
No, I wouldn't either.
But I'll check in on it.
Yeah.
And watch a little bit. See what I could see.
They're the only two teams that have four preseason games this year.
And, gosh, the Chiefs have been there like a week, and these guys are playing already. So
I know.
They must have reported a week early, right?
Yeah, right. And I think also the deal is for the Chiefs, you said they have four straight padded practices. I think they're only allowed 8 or 9.
Yeah.
The whole preseason. But the deal is I think he's getting them out of the way early because he knows he has the preseason games coming up, and they'll be hitting people anyway. So.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, it's a good plan.
Great plan. We have a great sponsor here at CBD America Shaman. Remember, 30% off all products, all stores right now. And pop over there and check out some of the great, great stuff that you can get over there and just make yourself feel a little bit better, whether it's anxiety, pain, swelling, you name it. Who was I talking? Oh, my brother-in-law. I sent some stuff over to him, and he was working on it. He just redid their house, and he was doing some construction stuff, and his hands were all beat up and sore. He put it on there. He said, gosh, I can't believe how good this stuff works. I said, I wouldn't send it to you, Jim, if it didn't work. So,
that's right.
It works, guys.
Absolutely.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I sent my sister a bunch of the CBN. She's been having trouble sleeping.
Yeah. Any reports back?
So, yeah, she says great.
Good.
She says, you know, it's been working great for her, so. Yeah, folks, here's the deal. There's one thing we say. You got to try it.
I know.
I mean, my gosh, you think, oh, these two are blowing smoke. Well, we thought everybody's blowing smoke, too, until we started to try it. Give it a shot.
We've only been talking about it for about 2 years now.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Just and so
Johnny come
give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Okay, we're talking about Devon Key, of course, the safety who's been making.
Hilltopper.
A Hilltopper from Western Kentucky, and he was asked, remember, he was an undrafted free agent, so he was asked why he chose to sign with the Chiefs.
Just through the draft process, came through the later rounds, and I was getting phone calls from the Chiefs, Coach Reed called, and just that kind of made an impression on me, you know, having the head coach call me. I thought that was pretty nice, so winning culture, decided, you know, come here and try to help the team as best as I could.
What did Coach tell you?
He just basically said, you know, you deserve to get drafted. You know, you had a successful career at Western. They didn't have any more picks left. The Chiefs didn't have any more picks left. So he was like, you know, if you don't end up getting drafted, you know, we'd love to have you.
That's pretty impressive when the head coach calls you.
Yeah.
Okay, and a guy and him slipping down the draft board, and Dandy had an inkling that this guy's not going to get drafted, and we really like what we see. And, of course, the scouts and, you know, Brett Veach. So they figured this kid's got some potential. My gosh, he's been playing great so far.
I'm going to make what Marty Schottenheimer used to call a green box statement. And I don't know where he got it from. I think back when he was working for Sam, it was a Rettiglione. Is that who it was?
Rettigliano.
Right. They had a green box, and if they had a complaint or they had a statement that they want to make, he could put it in the box and he would actually read them at like the coaches' meetings.
So unsigned, of course.
Unsigned. Right? So he's called a green. I got a green box statement. I got a green box statement. My green box statement is not only will this kid, Devon Key, not only I think he's going to make this team, but I think there's going to be a bunch of free agents making teams. This was a really, really deep draft, and there was a lot of good football players that went out there, but there's also a lot of guys out there that were, because of the whole COVID thing and everything else, I think there was a lot of hype around guys that maybe didn't play as many games or may have even opted out and, you know, were picked. So I think you're going to see more free agents this year make a team than you've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and I'm sure he can play not just safety, probably playing the nickel and the dime and everything else. And he could probably play special teams. So, yep. And then Key was asked, you know, it's funny, he went to Western Kentucky. You said Hilltopper. They're a Division I-A football team, okay? They're in a smaller conference, obviously. I think they're in the AAC, I believe, which is the thing they're rattling around now with the with Kansas and Kansas State and everybody with the conference realignment to try to hook up with some of these teams or jump into that conference somehow or absorb them or whatever. And he was asked how his work at Western helped him with the Chiefs defense.
The kind of defense that we ran in college kind of helped me translate to the kind of scheme that we are in now with the Chiefs. We had, I would say, pretty difficult defense in college, so just being able to learn that, I was grateful enough to have that defense for 4 years. So just picking up that and then translating to I already knew that we kind of had a kind of a difficult defense to learn here with the Chiefs, but just attacking every day is kind of the mindset that I've had.
You lined up everywhere at Western Kentucky, every spot in the secondary. How has that prepared you, especially for how the Chiefs use their safety here?
Right. Just being able to play as a high safety, being able to play as a in-the-box safety, I feel like my time at Western kind of prepared me, you know, being able to see speed at the safety position or be able to take on alignment when I do play in the box.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah, you know what? And that's so important, especially, you know, listen, Dan Sorensen's that kind of guy. He can play high safety. He can come up in the box. And you know, I think they're always looking to see, okay, who can we have the next guy that we could trust, like a Dan Sorensen that we can trust, that we know we could bring him up in the box, maybe blitz him, who can make tackles. Play the run, make tackles, or he could play back in high safety and knows the defense and can kind of be that center fielder. And this guy's done that, so it's a good sign for this kid. It really is. I love these stories. Lonnie Martz was a guy that my year came out and made the Chiefs as a undrafted free agent and played linebacker slash safety for the Chiefs for a while. Was a hell of a football player.
Yeah, do you remember anybody else off top? I can't remember anybody else who really made a big splash and stuck around for a while.
Lonnie Martz was one
undrafted free agents.
I know the I'm gonna bang it around a little bit. I know there was a couple other guys that did.
Wasn't Priest wasn't undrafted, right?
I don't know if he was or not. I don't think so. But I know Lonnie Martz wasn't. And Lonnie, he played for the Chiefs for at least 4 or 5 years and was a big-time member. Yeah,
that's
Priest
right.
was
See,
undrafted.
Priest, I know. That's what I thought.
There you go.
He's
that's
one of the big ones.
There's a
Good
great
Lord.
One. There's a
Imagine
great one.
That.
No.
Priest Holmes goes undrafted. So the other guy who's really, I guess, he's a fun guy anyway. He's a good player. Derek Nnadi, defensive lineman. He's going to be in the interior of that defensive line. He's going to get a lot in that rotation because now, you know, Chris Jones has moved outside. They have to bring a lot of guys in there, and you got Frank Clark on the other side who we haven't heard from or talked about or.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with
Well,
that.
They're not going to bring him up in front of the media right now. He's going through this legal situation with him. But he was asked about Willie Gay and what he's seen from Willie during this camp.
I feel like Willie's more. He has better inside of the game. When I first met Willie, well, it was a while ago when I was training down in Exos. I didn't know he was going to be on the team, but it was weird. It always happens like that. But when I first met him, I already knew he was going to be, one, he's a great person. And his rookie year, in my eyes, I was like, yo, this kid is phenomenally fast. He's going to smack somebody in the mouth. And it's a good attitude. I was like, yo, let this kid have another year, another full year. He's going to be balling. Absolutely balling.
Did you guys became friends before he was even drafted here? Can you just elaborate a little bit more on that, on how that happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I was down there in Exos just training, and, you know, there's always going to be a lot of potential draft kids down there training, and I just chatted up with some of the guys because asking me questions because I'm in the league, and Willie kind of just jumped out to me. It was either his energy, his attitude, or just, I don't know, Willie kind of just takes the room in a way. He's a really good, positive guy. And when I found out we got drafted, I'm like, hold up. I've seen that name before. Come up at OTAs, I'm like, you know that Spider-Man meme? I'm like, bro, what's up? Like,
Did you Spider-Man me? That's great, but he is very impressed by Willie Gay, obviously. What is Exos? Is that
Exos
it's
is
sort of like that old, what was the kid who ran the camp? The the big agency. The
IMG.
IMG used to run that big camp.
It's a little like IMG, but they have a bunch of them. I know there's one down in Scottsdale, Arizona, where a lot of these guys go. Ryan Willis, a kid who was at Bishop Miege, he went down there pretty much all winter. And we got picked up by the spring league, and I'm not sure where Ryan's at right now. I have to check that out. But he had a great spring. But he said, you know, he told me all those guys were down there. I mean, all the Giant players, and then he said there was a couple Chiefs there. He didn't mention Nottie, but he was probably one of them. It's a training facility. There's about four or five major ones. I think there's one in California, maybe in the L.A. area. I know there's one in Florida, and I know there's one in Arizona. But what they do is they go and there's coaches that used to coach in the league, and there's fitness.
You also have fitness people and drills.
And drills.
They put you through, right?
And you also have, you can rehab there with trainers and everything else. So now it's really, they're really nice places. And a lot of times agents will send you down there, especially if you're a young guy, and they actually pay for it to go down there to train. So you get ready for the combine and get ready for the draft and get ready for your mini camps.
One thing people don't want to talk about a whole lot is the Super Bowl loss to Tampa Bay. Was not a close game. Ugly for the Chiefs. They did not score a touchdown. Had to kick three field goals in that game. Lost 31-9. Naughty was asked if he ever thinks about that Super Bowl loss.
I think about it sometimes. And it's just a way to just like remind myself. At the same time, it's to humble myself because I know how it feels to have those kind of devastating losses. Y'all see me the first time we were in the AFC Championship. All heartbroken. And that kind of felt like it really motivated me to really up my game another level, and to lose it at the highest level, it probably hurt. It really hit me bottom, like at the bottom for like a couple, maybe 2 days. Come back to speed, like, all right, what's been done has been done. Review what you did, and correct any type of critiques you can get, and just perfect those critiques and just get better every day. Because at the end of the day, the past is the past. If you keep worrying about the past, you'll be stuck in the past.
It's a good point. You know, you can't worry about the past, but I will tell you this. The older you get, the harder they get.
Yeah, it's always the losses. You don't remember a whole lot of the wins.
And now, I had plenty of them in the playoffs.
Right. I think the guys will probably remember that Super Bowl loss almost more than they'll remember the Super Bowl win the year before.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're a younger guy, you always feel like, yeah, we're going to get back, so it doesn't hurt as much. But it's for the older guys in their 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th year, they go to a Super Bowl or go to a playoff game and you lose, and you're like, man, you never know if you're going to get back to this.
Right.
And those are devastating, and they take a long time to get over. And you could tell even a younger guy, I think once he's the 4th year, it hurt him, but you know he knows that he'll be back there and he'll have more opportunities. So Derek, it doesn't get any easier. Let you know that.
The deal is too. I don't know if I should remind everybody of this. It's extremely hard to go to three Super Bowls in a row. Only three teams in NFL history have ever done it.
Buffalo.
They lost all four. Miami and New England. They're the only three teams in National Football League history that have gone to three straight Super Bowls. It's very difficult to do.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs have a really good opportunity to do three.
Yeah.
But four has got to be unbelievably hard because now guys are just getting older. It's just the way it is.
You bet.
So, I mean, they still have that window open. All right, guys, we've got to take a break. We get back. We'll only have a couple seconds left, but... remember, CBD America Shaman, still 30% off right now at all stores. You're listening to
Crunch Time. Okay, we got 2 minutes, right?
Yes.
Going to give you a quiz.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Forbes magazine came out with the NFL franchise's worth. Okay? Who's number one?
Cowboys.
Very good. $6.5 billion.
Wow.
Where do you think the Chiefs, who have been to two straight Super Bowls, have Patrick Mahomes, filled stadium every week, where do you think they rank on this list?
I would say somewhere in the 20s, 22.
Did you look this up?
No, I swear.
You're a lying sack.
I swear.
You looked at this.
I did not.
You cheated. They are number 22.
Are they really?
$2.93 billion.
Wow. So who's second? Would it be like the
New
Giants?
England. No, New England? So England, then the Giants. Of course, you got the big markets. Then the Rams. And in a COVID year, last year, their value increased 20%.
Wow. Who did?
It's the highest.
The Chiefs?
The Rams? No, the Rams. It's the highest increase.
And what about the whole league?
Oh, the whole league's way. Oh, God almighty. It's gone crazy.
So they were complaining. So if they were asking for money or something, weren't they? Or didn't they do something? They were like, we're not going to make any money. The cap went down. How could the cap go down?
Look at this. I know. You got to be kidding me. Last team on the list is Buffalo.
Buffalo?
$2.27 billion.
Where's Cleveland?
Which ain't too bad. Cleveland's 29th.
Mm.
Cincinnati's 31st. It's almost by market size.
Yeah.
You know, Rams up there. Washington's up there. San Francisco's up there. Chicago, the Jets, Philadelphia. Denver's number 10.
Wow.
$3.75 billion.
Wow.
That's a lot of money, buddy.
All right. Well, the number one
football,
the
number Dallas, one, Pittsburgh.
The top rated money wise show is Crunch Time right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB because you are listening to
Crunch Time.